It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo are here. We're going to kind of dissect the quarterly results from Microsoft, kind of read the tea leaves, see what it all means. And good news, Windows Phone, not dead yet. Not in great shape, but not dead yet. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 463, recorded Wednesday, April 27th, 2016. The bad end of the roller coaster. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV is an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the life of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. And by Igloo Software. Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. It connects people with the information they need to do their best work. Try it for free at igloosoftware.com/twit or sign up for a live demo and see it in action. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows Weekly. Actually, we talk about more than Windows. We also talk about all things Microsoft, Xbox, and Hadoop, and PowerShell.
Bash.
Yeah, she said it. Oh!
I said it.
Plus, the name Microsoft Apps on Other Mobile Platforms Weekly just didn't have the same ring
to
it.
Oh, wow. But I saw, I thought a comment from Satya Nadella that made a lot of sense. I'm trying to remember. This week, mm-hmm. He said something about that.
About the mobility of experiences.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was kind of a refinement of we want to be where our users mm-hmm. are.
Yep.
But it really
is. Well, the thing is not what's important.
Exactly.
It's that your settings, your data, your experience moves with you as you go to devices, at whatever devices.
And we don't expect you to use only Microsoft devices.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people in the base, as I'm now going to refer to them as, are having trouble receiving this message.
The base.
The base.
Base camp.
No, the base.
Yeah. So
the base. That's a
increasingly
good word.
Isolated base.
Yeah. The silent majority, we should call them. Actually, really, yeah, that would be
the
apt.
The surrounded majority. The would, surrounded minority.
That would be apt.
Like the Russians, it's, or the Germans at Stalingrad. They're surrounded, but they just refuse to give up.
So this is the best picture I have ever seen and kind of yeah. brings it all home. This is KCCI, Iowa's news leader, and they're in the middle of a weather forecast. And, of course, as many people know on the green screen, that's computer generated. And in this case, the computer, apparently a Windows 8 machine.
State. Now, live Super Doppler has been...
Microsoft recommends...
...rainfall across southwest Iowa.
Does she see it?
Microsoft recommends upgrading to Windows 10. What should I do? don't you love when that pops up, huh? Anyway, over at...
oh, my God, this poor woman. No, somebody...
she handled it like a pro.
She did it very well.
I know.
She's moving to the big market.
Unflappable.
What's going on with my clicker now? Okay, the winds have been very gusty overnight as well. It's the Windows 10, right? That's what people are going to say. Don't do it. Well, the shower...
Wow, Microsoft. Wow, that's the kind of PR you just can't buy.
I'm going to do something that's going to blow people's minds. So, yeah, you're familiar with Bill Keane, right?
Yeah.
And the Family Circus,
Keane,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the most awful moments in my life was a Bill Keane cartoon. I hate this guy. But I'm going to pull a Bill Keane and say this. You know, people always make fun of this kind of thing. Back in the day, it would be like a blue screen that was in an airport or
in
a train station
or
something. And they would, Windows, ha, 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 ha. You know? But you know what? You know what the Bill Keane positive outlook version of the story is? You know they're using Windows, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone uses Windows. I mean, every time you see one of these things, like, you can make fun of this all you want, and it is stupid. I think this is terrible, by the way. But, you know, this is just another subtle reminder. Everybody uses Windows.
Everybody uses Windows.
Excuse me while I turn off my light, by the way.
Maybe they shouldn't be using Windows, but everybody uses Windows. Now, while Paul's away, we can quickly talk about Hadoop. Oh, darn it, he came back so fast.
Sorry.
He's back.
Darn, he's back.
I got a little like wrinkle in my back. It was like someone was stepping on me with high heels.
Ow! That was the light? All right. So there you go. There's your little, your image of the day. Thanks to KCCI Channel 8 News in Iowa.
All right. See you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
We're done.
Windows Weekly in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Any, by the way, is there any more to say about that? Are people are still getting upgraded against their will? I got a call on the radio show. It was really, it was an unfortunate,
actually, so,
unfortunate call. A guy's wife is a teacher, and
yeah,
she woke up.
I feel like
she was about to give a presentation.
It's dying down.
It's dying down.
Well, I think we're running out of things to upgrade, aren't we? I mean,
done.
I don't know.
I for some reason this week, I don't know if it's email or Twitter or both or whatever. I've gotten a bunch of messages from people saying, and there'll be a screenshot. Like, here's Windows update. Look what's in this list of all these things I have to update. It says Windows 10, 15, 11, you know, whatever. It's like, and all the other ones are 156 kilobytes or whatever. And this one's like 1.8 gigabytes, you know, or whatever. And some people seem to be confused about this a little bit. Although this was in the news last October when they announced it, it was in the news in early February when they started implementing it. People are just starting to notice it. And so it's kind of been out there because of that. But I'll just two things that just happened on Twitter literally within the past 30 minutes or so in response to this very story with the woman and the weather forecast. One guy says, I don't think they're being aggressive enough.
Really?
Oh, wow. Like,
yep. So those people are out there.
Why are they even asking just to upgrade?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got, by the way, I got a bunch of those. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, this is awesome. This guy says, this is a quote from Linus Torvalds. It says, "Really, I'm not out to destroy Microsoft. That will just be a completely unintentional side effect," said Torvalds. And then this guy says, "It's happening."
Wow.
And it's like, guys,
well, this poor weather person, I mean, there are probably good reasons why she hasn't upgraded to 10. The software they're using may not work with 10. I mean, they're
right, of course.
So she should not have to be harassed. I should give a plug to Steve Gibson, your favorite Windows hater. Actually, he's not a Windows
hater. I love Steve Gibson. You know,
he's not a Windows hater. He's a Windows 10 hater. No. He loves Windows.
That's okay.
But he has written a little program, not big.
Leo, Windows is a big tent now, remember? We love everybody.
Love everybody.
It's okay.
He's written a little program called Never 10.
Yep. Which I've recommended.
It's a great idea because it's doing it the Microsoft way. It's making the group policy edit changes so that this is a permanent thing. It will turn, this would be a good example as this weather person should run it on her machine so she doesn't see that ever again.
Well, as we've discussed in the past, what really needs to happen is Microsoft needs to make it possible for you just to say no,
Yeah.
And I respect their desire to upgrade people, but this kind of bullying, for lack of a better term, is inexcusable. I mean, I don't understand how anyone could approve of this.
Well, and I felt when this bad happened, for this woman who was a teacher and her computer, Windows 10 was installed on it. Her husband called and said, she had slides she needed to do and she couldn't. And, just it was a mess. And it wasn't anything she initiated.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think somebody told me they were at a register and the guy inadvertently clicked the OK upgrade thing. And,
Now you got to wait.
It's going to be a little while before I can get you a receipt. sorry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
This is not okay.
The reason it's coming out now, like we've said before, is we knew it was going to happen. We wrote about it.
Yes.
People who read our sites knew, but normal people didn't know.
I don't think anybody anticipated, though. I mean, you said, it's going to go into the recommended updates, and that will trigger an automatic update in some cases.
But that was the point we said, but this is serious, because most Windows computers are configured to automatically install those updates.
Right.
Microsoft
made no
right
effort
away
to get that word out.
No,
but Microsoft,
they want people to upgrade.
We can't. Right, I'm not going to congratulate them for warning people about a disaster they caused. Like
your house is going to get swept away in a moment.
Yeah, right. There's a tidal wave with a giant Windows logo on it. Yeah, that was us. By the way, it's coming. Thanks for the heads up.
They shouldn't have done it in the first place. I guess. Yeah,
I don't think so. No, yeah.
We
I don't
both
think
don't think so, but they don't care what we think.
No, apparently not.
That's for sure.
So earnings, that's the real story of the week, Microsoft's earnings.
That's the second story.
And they're after the Windows. The just to put it in context, Apple had the worst quarterly results since 13 years, so 2003.
Yeah, 2003, yep. Twitter well, in the sense that results. That their revenues fell. Right? Yeah. I mean,
they still had revenue.
By the way, as I referred to it, Leo, they have 2.25 Microsofts worth of revenues. Yeah, yeah. Is what
plenty of money coming in, but it's coming in slower, I guess. What about Microsoft?
They had a pretty good quarter. They missed what analysts were projecting for earnings per share, but they attributed that to something to do with taxes.
Yeah, taxes were higher. In other words, they had a different mix of revenue by geography, and those things that were bigger had higher taxes, the places that were a bigger proportion of their sales.
Right. So some people bought that, some people did not. And
by the way, not a financial analyst, but that's bullshit. Yeah. You're telling me your CFO is going to stand up there with a straight face and say, sorry, I didn't know how the taxes worked? I mean, seriously? That's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that's my perspective
on
that one.
On the good side, their push to the cloud continues. They now say they're at a $10 billion run rate for what they call the commercial cloud. And they projected they're going to hit $20 billion by fiscal 2018. So they say they're on track.
Billion. Is that an annual revenue figure?
Run rate, that number they use, which is like an extrapolation. It's not exactly annual revenues. It's if it were consistent across quarters, this is how much we would make.
In other words, if this quarter were consistent across four quarters,
we'd be making $10 billion on commercial cloud.
Okay.
Yep. So that seems to be on track. The one that caught a lot of people by pleasant surprise was Surface. $1.1 billion for the quarter in revenues.
Nice.
I know. Yeah.
But why is that important, right? Non-holiday quarter.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that it's happened two quarters in a row.
Right.
Right. You would expect in the quarter after holiday quarter that sales would go down, which they did, I think, a little bit. But they were still over $1 billion. It's a big deal.
Right.
Office did
well. So they attributed it to strong sales of Surface Book and Surface Pro 4.
Yes. Yes. Leo brought one. That helped.
Yes. You helped. You contributed.
I should reiterate, I think I did this before the show started. Whatever those firmware updates were last week, this thing has been running. I don't know about your experience has been, Paul, but it seems to have fixed it. It's like fine now.
And yours wasn't fixed by that big update before, but you're saying with this one, the sheer number of updates they released for Surface Book and for Surface Pro 4 suggested to me
there was something going on.
It was tailored for that purpose, right? Let's actually get to the root of this problem.
Works reliably, quickly. Yeah, yeah. Everything seems to be working. Detaching, reattaching.
Yay, good. Yay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm happy about that. And by the way, I bought a new Windows laptop.
So yes,
it's from HP, so it's not going to. Well, I guess Microsoft will get a little money out of that, a little bit.
Yes, I
think
they're a little vig.
It's remarkable, though. I mean, this is an expensive laptop relative to a lot of other PCs, mm-hmm. not to the Surface, and definitely not to the Mac. So I'm comparing.
This is the gold.
This is that copper. It's the Spectre 13T.
Sure,
just came
out
James
Bond villain laptop.
Yeah, I'll get it May 9th.
Does it come with a monocle and a Cheshire cat?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to boot.
I like that. I like the looks of that.
I'm excited and. It's an i7, not an M7. Right.
It's thinner than the MacBook.
Well, that's not strictly true because it's thinner in the edges and the fatter it bulges at the end. Well, so it's a little heavier, 2.5 pounds compared to two.
It's a 14-inch screen or 13-inch.
13-inch screen. No, 13.
As opposed to a 12, it's a bigger screen.
A little bigger, but only 1080p as opposed to 1440. So it's a little lower resolution. No touch, just like the Apple. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I'll like Windows 10 without touch, but we'll see.
I mean, honestly, on a laptop, I think that's fine.
It's great. But the biggest thing is, unlike the Apple, it has three Type-C ports, all of which can be used for charging and USB, and two of which are Thunderbolt 3. So I went out and I bought a Thunderbolt. This is silly because I just have a 2.5 pound laptop with an 8 pound drive bay, but I bought a Thunderbolt 3 drive enclosure just to see how fast that Thunderbolt 3 is. It's supposed to be 40 gigabits a second, so it's. That's the first Thunderbolt 3 I've seen. Apple doesn't offer it. at all, even though it's still it's in the Skylake chipset. They could.
Yeah. Well, they don't really have a lot of Skylake going on yet, do they? I mean, so the Core M might not support that.
It may be that, and it may it is a Skylake in the new MacBook.
No, I know that, but I mean the Core M version of it may not support it.
They may have to get like the Alpine Bridge and that, or Alpine Ridge or whatever it is, and that may be they don't have room in there, et cetera, et cetera. So I understand. Yep. I can't really judge their engineering decisions. However, I feel like we can. $400 less, I'm going to get a considerably more powerful machine, I think. But we'll put them head to head. I bought both, and we'll see.
Nice.
And then I'm looking forward to just an example, just because I want to see.
Did the hard drive enclosure come in rose gold?
No. No. Or I wish it came in copper.
You mean pink?
No. The lime HP green. Is copper. What is it, a copper and
Yeah, it is copper, black? Actually. I think like it was gold for some reason. I think it's copper and black, yeah.
I haven't bought an HP computer in so long because I really...
Oh, by the way, they've gotten tons better.
I think they've turned it around.
These past few years, their computers are fantastic.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, they really are. Specters and the Elites.
I'm very excited about that.
It's neat because we've always, you know, Surface is around now. That's great. You know, ThinkPad's always been great, but HP's really turned it around. Yeah. It's neat.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you, when it comes, May 9th, I will be able to give... I'm putting a Samsung... That's the other thing that's great. SSD drives have really tumbled. I got Samsung 850 Pro SSDs to go in here. Two of them, terabyte each. So this is going to be.
What are you going to do with the other 95% of the space in there?
I know. I don't need all that room.
Why is that thing so big?
And why am I going to carry it around? Oh, well, it's because was
that for a Winchester hard drive, Leo?
It could use 5.25 as well as the 2.5. So. And you know what's other thing is great with the Thunderbolt is it's daisy chainable. So this comes, so you plug it into the computer, but now there's another USB-C, you can add more devices, supports USB 3.1, which by itself is very fast. And look at that, that's DisplayPort.
Yeah.
So you can run DisplayPort. Now, if you run DisplayPort and, you know, all these things on the same channel, you'll start to bog it down a little bit. But I'm learning some things. For instance, DisplayPort is the display is prioritized over the hard drive speed, so that's interesting. And then Steve Gibson told me, I said, "Why would you? These are going to be SATA drives on this." He said, "Well, that's why you do it in RAID. You do it in striped RAID because then you get faster reads off the drives because the drives are actually slower than the Thunderbolt port."
Which is, by the way, when was the last time that's been a problem?
I know. Isn't that awesome? So I'm excited about the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bright, I got to wear shades. and you know, of course, I'd like to put Linux on it, but I'll have to run Windows 10 to really take advantage of all those features because you've got to have support.
That's too bad. You'll be okay.
Shame, isn't it? No. I'm going to get used to it. It'll be fine. Yes. Now that they have the bash, I mean the thing.
The thing.
Now that they have the thing in there. I feel like the Crypt Keeper. Look it. Welcome. Come inside.
That is really old school looking. That's
funny. Well, because it can have the big drives in there. But the little drives. But it's all toolless. See, there's all thumb screws. Yeah. We'll see. It's it's called Akitio. Akitio Thunder.
You should have just gotten the little stick, the M2 SSDs, you know, then
put it in a little enclosure. I know. Wouldn't that be? Yeah. Does anybody make an M2 enclosure with Thunderbolt 3? That would be cool.
Not that I know, but why not? I mean, it seems like this could come. It could be the size of a portable hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if that happens, I'll buy one of those too. Windows sales. How are they doing? Did you mention that yet? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's kind of in the mixed category, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Down 2%, right?
What? Because they're giving it away. Right? So how do you even count that?
Well, but they don't totally give it away.
Enterprise customers still pay. The important statistic there is it's better than the industry is doing overall, right? So the PC market fell high single digits. I don't remember the exact number. Windows sales were only down 2% in that quarter. So they're, you know, obviously license sales to PC makers occur at a different time than sales to end customers and so forth. And that probably accounts for some of the difference. You know, PC makers stockpile licenses so they can put them into new machines and so forth. And that probably accounts for some of it. But, you know, Microsoft, they're good at massaging numbers. Except for tax rate.
So did they say in the earnings call that, well, you know, it's down 2%, but we got to consider we're giving away a lot of copies of Windows, so that's actually up or something like that.
Oh, no, they didn't really present it that way.
But they did talk about deferred revenue, right, on Windows because of the giveaway. They did talk about that.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's another place to put it. That's, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I was surprised Windows did as well as it did.
Well, exactly. 2% down isn't bad if you're giving away 111 million copies.
Every quarter, IDC and Gartner will come out with their little statistics and predictions and so forth. And we've been predicting that the PC market was going to kind of bottom out, flatline, and maybe come back even a little bit, you know, for the past year or two. And at some point, this is always going to happen. But at some point, this never actually happens. And so I always kind of, you know, as that happens, it's like, oof, like I want, you know, what's going to happen with Windows? But they've really kind of ridden this one pretty well somehow. And it, I also find, I don't have this in front of me, but the mix of pro versus home sales, which is essentially, but not exactly, the difference between, you know, say business and consumer sales, because obviously some consumer sales are pro, is interesting too, right? For some reason, and it might have to do again with the way that these licenses are sold, the home business, which is very rare, did better than the pro business.
Yeah.
And that's usually not the case. And by better, I mean not in sheer revenue amount, but rather in percentage fall year over year, I think.
I think that's what counts, though, right? I mean, apples to apples.
Yeah. On Office 365, the numbers are good. The commercial seats, so that's like the business oriented versions of Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online. I mean, sorry, Link. I still use Link. Skype for Business Online. 70 million.
People still use Link too. It's okay.
Yeah, true. 70 million seats now. The consumer side of Office 365 up to 22 million. So it's still growing. It's growing a little bit slower than it did in the previous quarter. So some people are a little, you know, saying cloud growth slows a bit in certain places. Azure growth was high. Office 365, a little less high. But the other thing we don't know on the Office 365 consumer is how many of those are paid seats.
Right.
Because they give a lot of that away in various deals, bundling, all that kind of thing. But still, good numbers. Still going up, which is good. So that was good overall, too.
What else is in here? Anything else in the middle of them? You know, Xbox, you know, they don't really give you any real numbers to know how well that's doing other than, you know, active users, which is up pretty well year over year, 37 million to 48. So that's good. I mean, but we don't know how many of these things sold. We know they killed the Xbox 360. So that didn't sell particularly well in the previous quarter, I'd imagine. It must have hit some milestone that they were waiting for where they could get rid of it.
Monthly active users, Xbox Live up to 46 million. That's good.
Wow, that's a lot. 46 million monthly active users. That's interesting. It's probably half.
And the other number that was up, search. The Bing search advertising revenue number was up 18%. And what they're attributing that to is very interesting and tells you a lot about where they plan to make money. They attributed it to Windows 10 usage, right? So the built-in search, Cortana, this is all contributing to that.
Interesting.
And, you know, people ask a lot of times, like, how is Microsoft going to monetize Windows 10 if they keep giving it away? This is how. It's all these other after-purchase
This is one of the ways.
Stuff.
I mean,
one of the
apps is part of it. It's not
that,
like Change Bank. It's not just by volume.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
What about the bad news? Any particularly obvious losers?
There was one big one, which we kind of knew, Windows Phone. Yeah. They sold 2.3 million Lumias, down from 8.6 million a year ago.
Boy, that's a big drop.
Revenue down 47%.
The thing is, you know, you can look at this on a chart. It looks like the bad end of a roller coaster kind of thing. But you could make the argument that this shouldn't be surprising. Microsoft announced last July what their plans were for hardware. They're literally doing everything they can not to sell devices. it's still kind of hard to see it, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, over the next 6 to 9 months or a year, they're going to sell less of these things every quarter. They're going to wind this thing down. This is a plan. It's a strategy. They lose money every time they sell a phone. They're going to try to stop doing that. Okay, sounds good. And then each quarter when it actually happens and you see that massive dip, it's hard. You know, it's weird confronting it when it actually happens.
Right. They're doing what they said they were going to do, but it doesn't make it any easier when you see the numbers every quarter doing what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
I think people forget, right? I think everybody keeps forgetting about last July when they said, guys, we're not going to make as many Windows phones. Well, we're not going to sell them in as many places.
There's a lot of delusion out there. You know, people that don't, you know, it's like Windows Phone isn't dead. Well, okay. I mean, you know, it's on life support and it's being kept alive artificially, but yeah, okay, it's not dead. I mean, there's a plan of sorts. I mean, they know they can't win this particular battle. They're not trying to compete with Apple or Google directly in the smartphone market with devices. It's just not going to work. And so we'll see how that goes long term. But
yeah. And they warned next quarter, the numbers are going to be worse. They said that on the call.
Yeah.
The numbers so for mobile.
For Windows phones. They're going to be even worse next quarter.
All right. Yep. I mean, the business is so bad, it actually impacts the wider devices business at Microsoft, right? Which includes Surface and I think Xbox. And it's weird because Surface, of course, is doing very well for Surface. And it just kind of colors it a little bit. I mean, the Lumia business is so, you know, I know it's a plan thing, but it's just so sad, you know?
Yeah. So, that's earnings in a nutshell.
I want to continue on with Windows Phone a little bit because Terry Myerson has some interesting things to say along that lines. But don't do it yet. We'll save that for after the commercial because this show is so good, it has its own advertising built in. You smile at that, but it's true. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. This is the place you go if you want to be an IT pro. Or maybe you are an IT pro and you want to keep up on this field that moves so very fast. And what an easy, fun way to learn. IT Pro TV does it kind of just like Twit does. They admit it. They freely admit it. They were inspired by what we do here to create content that is as engaging and fun. And they do it live. They have two studios now. 50 hours of new content every week, 1,000 plus hours in their course library. In fact, if you go to itpro.tv/ww right now, you can browse the course library, see some free courses just to get an idea of how fun they are, see what's out there. I mean, everything you'd want, including, of course, MTA, Operating Systems Fundamentals, Networking Fundamentals, Security Fundamentals, the MCSA for 7, 8, 1, and 10. MCSA Windows Server 2012, SQL Server 2014, all of the courses. In fact, they just released their Microsoft Server 2016 MCSE courses, their Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager course, the CCNP Security course, Certified Cloud Security Professional. You want a good job, man? That is an area to be an expert in. AWS, A+, Ethical Hacking, they have that certified Ethical Hacker. Just look under technical skills. You'll see so much Active Directory and Azure, SQL, cloud fundamentals, crypto, 12 hours on crypto. That's a great course. Now, you don't get the certs here, but what you do is you prepare for the cert exams, and of course, they make it easy for you. They have Q&A sessions that are like study groups. You can watch live on your Roku. So just have it running in the background in the living room on your Chromecast, on your Amazon Fire TV, your Apple TV. Yep, they have an Apple TV app on the PC, of course, and on the go with your mobile device. They have virtual machine labs, which are really awesome. You can set up a Windows server, run Windows clients without even owning any Windows. You just do it in their virtual lab. And if you make a mistake, which I often do, it's nice. You just turn the lab off and start over. It's really cool. If you want to practice the exam before you take the exam, they have the Transcender practice exams. That alone is worth $109, and it's part of your subscription. The low monthly price will amaze you. First of all, there's a free basic plan. You don't even need a credit card for that, where you can watch live anytime. for $570 a year or $57 a month, you get everything, access to everything. Pay for the yearly plan. You even get to download everything and watch offline, which is fantastic. They've got transcripts. They do have corporate and group pricing. I can't tell you the businesses that use it because they want their privacy, but I can tell you universities, Harvard's entire IT department subscribes to IPT Pro TV. So does MIT, UCSD, Stanford. We've got a special deal for you, too. We're going to give you a deal on that price. If you use the offer code WW30, you'll take it down by 30%. That's $40 a month, $3.99 for the entire year. And that's forever, not just for the first year, month or year, but forever. So that makes it really, really attractive. I mean, much less than a technical school. And, I mean, just phenomenal resources for you to get that cert and to stay tuned up while you're working in the business. So visit it now, itpro.tv/WW. Try it for free for 7 days. Don't forget the code WW30 for that free trial and 30% off when you decide to sign up. itpro.tv/WW. Promise you, you're going to get a lot out of this. And, you know, if you don't, it's easy to cancel. Honest. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking windows. Terry Myerson reassured all of us that despite the fact, and by the way, selling 2 million phones isn't terrible.
It's not.
That's millions.
I know. It's still millions.
It's still pretty terrible.
Well, it could be better.
Bad.
Listen, they showed they sold 8.6 million a year ago, and they had no good phones. I mean, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah. But. So this was a report from Windows Central. They got what they say is an internal memo that Terry Myerson sent to some executives in the company and some partners. We don't know which partners, probably phone partners, that said, you know what? We know that people are concerned about what we're going to do in the mobile space. But we remain committed to deliver Windows 10 on mobile devices with small screens running on ARM. He also said, we believe in the product's value to business customers. So he really emphasized the business part of this. And he said, we have a device roadmap to support that from Microsoft as well as from our OEM partners. So depending on how you interpret this and how you parse it. I think it's important to do that, by the way.
Yes. Interpret it and then parse it.
Right. I think it's saying they are going to still keep building phones. Or something that one's the haziest part of it. It is. The we have a device roadmap to support that is what I interpret
that,
as a phone.
That, okay, but see, the in that sentence is Windows 10
I know,
Mobile. Now, today, Windows 10 Mobile is only on phones for the most part.
Right.
I think there might be a few Chinese-type devices with, you know, small tablets. But obviously, the plan is for this thing to work on anything under, what, 8 inches, is it?
I think it's under eight inch screen.
Whatever the line is. There's details in here that do expand on what they've said in the past. The biggest one, of course, is the for many years bit, right? One of the big fears we had was that July would come around and, oh, we've reevaluated it yet again at the end of another fiscal year and we're walking away from it. Now, Sachin Nadella could override this, so we wouldn't get too excited, but this is the plan of record. That's fine. He says that they're going to focus on businesses, right? And I think if you look at what HP did with their, I think it's called the Elite X3 that they announced, a month or so ago and will ship at the end of the summer. I think that's what they're talking about, that kind of thing, that this is going to be the big focus. It doesn't mean that there won't be consumer, oriented Windows 10 mobile phones from somebody, but the focus is clearly on business.
So a year ago,
that phone thing is very vague.
I know it is vague. I agree. I mean, a year ago, so this is the last time Nadella really laid out what the plan was. He said a year ago, we're going to make a maximum of 6 phones a year. 2 of them are going to be flagships. 2 are going to be business phones. 2 value phones. So here's what we don't know. We don't know if that's still the plan at this point.
Right. They certainly haven't shipped 6.
No. And the flagship phones that he was talking about then were the 950 and the 950 XL. Right. When he talked about business phones, because I, I got to interview him last year when he started talking about this, and he was pretty clear. And he said, the things that we're focused on for businesses is making sure the phones are the best in terms of security and management. And, you know, I'm thinking when he was talking about that, he meant that Microsoft was going to go after deals like they had with the New York Police Department, where they strike a deal with a company. They preload the phones with what they want. They really emphasize the security, the productivity, and
directly or through a third party manage that stuff for them, right? Provide those services.
Right. That's what I think he meant. And that's what I think they're still looking at as the prime market for this.
I mean, this is a very limited distribution strategy, right? I mean, we've got people still freaking out because they can't get a 950 or something on Verizon, for example, which is
like
perhaps
me?
The ultimate. Well, you know, you don't want a 950, but it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of people, it's funny, you know, I'm treated sort of like the crow here, you know, like I'm somehow excited that Windows Phone is dying. A lot of people don't understand. I've just been trying to be very clear-headed and speak clearly about what's really happening with it. So I've gotten a lot of weird feedback about this thing, like C, you know, like, look, I think it's important for them to say this kind of thing. I wish they did it a little more publicly. I think this was leaked on purpose so it could become public, and that's okay. I do think it's real. But I don't know that this expands.
We should be clear about that, though. None of us have this memo. And
no one else got this. That alone is what's weird about it, yeah.
I mean, the other thing is Microsoft's not confirming or denying that it's real. I believe it's real, too, just like you do.
Yeah. And I think this was done on purpose, meaning that it wasn't a random employee who said, I'm just going to throw this by a Windows enthusiast with a blog. No, I think it was this is how we can sort of implicitly deal with this never-ending series of Windows Phone is dead stories, which I just wish they would address publicly. I mean, so I like what he says here. I think it's smart. I think it's what they can do. It doesn't contradict anything that they announced from last July. It's more a little bit more detail in a couple of places. And
I guess the part that comes through very clearly in this is we are committed to Windows 10 mobile, which I feel like we didn't really think they weren't.
I know.
I figured the OS would go on, even if they didn't make phones. Right?
I don't think it's sort of like when they announced Surface Book and they said, you know, everyone was asking us to come out with a laptop. And it's like, no, they weren't. They were asking you to come out with an Ultrabook. So like you did this other thing and that's okay. But, but seriously, I mean, if you're a Windows Phone fan, I think the thing to take away, the good news, the little silver lining here, it's the same thing as it was last July. Despite the fact that this thing is hemorrhaging money and is not doing well in the market, Microsoft is going to keep it going. And whether that means Microsoft devices, whether the Surface Phone ever really happens or not, or future Lumias, or whether it's just third-party devices, you're going to have these choices. Like, there'll be stuff in the market for you if you want this. And with regards to Windows 10 Mobile, like you said, we weren't really questioning that. But the reason is it's developed as part of Windows 10. It is Windows 10. Even if Microsoft's Lumia business imploded, well, it did implode, but even if they just literally said, we're not making phones anymore, there's no reason to cancel Windows 10 Mobile. It's so far along. It's just a skewer version of Windows 10. It's easy to keep it going. You know, they build these things side by side. They've literally aligned them. But I think the thing, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but for the people who, there are people who look at the insider builds that come out every week and they're like, see, they're supporting Windows 10 Mobile. It's not dead. And it's like, well, okay, first of all, I never actually said it was dead, but fine, okay, fine. the thing is, it's as easy to do that as it is to make a version of Windows 10 Home. You know, they're not going to just not make, you know, they're just, you know, it's okay. Yeah. Like, it makes sense for them to keep doing this because there are partners making these devices. HP's going to make it. They're not going to stop it and kill HP's device. I mean, there are other hardware partners. There's an Acer that came out in the past week. And so it's still an ongoing concern. It's just not
also, I also think we have to remember when they built Windows 10 Mobile and they were building it, they kept saying it's the phone OS, but it also is an OS for small screen tablets that are based on Intel or ARM. Right. And so,
Intel or
like
ARM,
you said,
important.
We haven't seen that many of those yet, but I bet we will still. And so they're, yep. I mean, they're not going to kill that market either. If OEMs want to build these things, they want to have an operating system for them. So yeah. I guess I wasn't thinking Windows 10 Mobile was going to go away no matter what happened to Microsoft.
Right. I don't think anyone was, but you know, okay. Yeah. And for whatever it's worth, like,
we have it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, so now that there's that word from Terry, even though it's not out there as a public word, it's.
Yeah. And okay. I think it's great. I mean, but I think this, you know, in other words, for the people who were worried about Windows Phone disappearing, there should be some hope here. And and I think that's important and it's good. And it's right for that to be there. For the people, for the sad people who were kind of, you know, cheering the death of this thing, this is a reminder that it's small, but Windows 10 Mobile is a part of a much bigger thing. And regardless of your thoughts on the viability of, you know, ARM or Intel small tablets that can't convert into full PCs or phones or whatever, the universal Windows platform, regardless of your thoughts on any of that stuff, this thing is a central part of the platform. It continues. Just, you know, Windows IoT continues. Windows for Surface Hub continues. Windows for Xbox continues. It's part of this thing.
Yep.
It's a small part. What is the part?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. It should
and you know,
though,
one more thing to say about mobile. So people ask me, do I think Microsoft is backing away from its mobile strategy? Sometimes people ask that question. And
right.
I think the other thing to think about is phones aren't the only thing in that strategy. Like we just said, small tablets, but also Microsoft considers HoloLens a mobile device. So they're not backing away from mobile. And Surface tablets are also mobile devices, even though they're not running Windows 10 mobile.
Right.
So to just oversimplify that and say Microsoft's mobile strategy is a disaster or a failure.
Well,
I think you're lumping a lot of things in when you say the word mobile there.
The maker of Windows tends to do best when things are like PCs, you know?
Yeah,
and it's maybe not surprising that Continuum is this way to turn a phone into a PC. Only Microsoft could have come up with this idea. I mean, it's just, you know, when you see the world through that lens. And I guess the thing I'd just say, I mean, on that topic is they give them a little credit. They tried, you know, I mean, they failed, but they tried. And you're kind of returning to their strengths here. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish Windows Phone had succeeded, but lemonade tastes pretty good.
So, okay. And they're going to make a Surface Phone and all that.
We don't know for sure.
Who knows?
So supporting it for many, many years could mean just like, well, we're never going to make another one, but.
Well, it may just mean we'll make the OS. And HP and Dell and, you know, not that Dell's announced anything, but. You know, whatever PC makers, hardware makers, phone partners can continue making these devices if they want. Yeah.
Do they? Well, I guess HP does. They make that Continuum device, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are theories about Surface Phone, and there are just theories because we really don't know anything about it. But
and this doesn't mean anything in that light.
It doesn't indicate Surface Phone happening or not. Although, you know, we were kind of debating whether or not they actually meant phones, like whether Microsoft would be making phones. And I have a line in my article about this where, you know, it doesn't mean Microsoft won't be selling phones. Microsoft won't be selling an expanded lineup of phone devices. Does that mean it could sell a limited lineup of phones, like a Surface Phone? I mean, could Surface Phone be an aspirational device and you know, enthusiasts will buy it and maybe that's the market?
Right. Or is Surface Phone a business phone?
Will it be a pure business phone, right? Will it be actually just another kind of device that can also make phone calls, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a mini tablet that with Continuum can turn into a laptop or a big computer with a big screen. And we can only speculate literally because nobody knows.
It's funny because even with a few million users, there are still, that's plenty of people to really be passionate about the platform and be upset.
Oh yeah, no, and by the way, they're all on Twitter
and
they all talk to us every day.
They're very entertaining. look, you know, compared to other mobile platforms, you know, Apple sold what, 25 million? No, I'm sorry, 50 million.
Yeah.
50 million iPhones.
Right.
You know, so compared to 2.3 million. So I don't know what that is, 18 to 1, however that works out. It's a big number. And that was a bad quarter for them. That was the first time iPhone sales ever fell quarter, you know, year over year.
But Windows 10 mobile is ARM, really. And I think that you made that point, Mary Jo.
For now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point. That just means we're going to continue to support that on ARM.
By the way, super smart to do that.
Absolutely.
Because in many ways, ARM is
Intel's keeping up.
It's the future of mobile computing from a hardware perspective. Right. So you got to be on that platform.
Yeah. So having Windows 10 on ARM.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
Committing to that is a no-brainer. Doesn't mean we're going to make a new phone. It's a no-brainer, though. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I think what it's going to come down to is this. I think Panos Panay, my bet is he wants to try to make a Surface phone because he is very intrigued by different form factors. He's a big believer in premium devices. He really thinks the pen belongs with every kind of device, I think. I bet even a phone. But you know, does Satya Nadella and Amy Hood, who's the CFO and the board, think that Microsoft should do this? Is it worth potentially losing money, spending all the money that they're going to have to spend to make this and distribute it? I think that's what it's going to come down to is, are they going to let them? I mean, look what happened with the Surface Mini, remember? They actually went out and built a bunch of these things. And then Nadella said, nope.
Right. By the way, they were right to kill that thing.
Windows RT-based mini tablet. Yeah.
Nope. Some people
are. Well, no, a lot of people still think they should have made it. I mean, there's always some, you know, there's someone out there for every, you know, device. Everything has its fan, you know.
For a while, I actually thought I would use a Surface Mini because I was thinking, you know what? It would take the place of a little notebook and you could have a pen. Mm-hmm. But now that I type all my notes, I'm like, probably not for me.
I still use a 7-inch Android device, and my iPad Mini is still, even though, you know, it's not my favorite iPad, it's still around. I still use it to read in bed.
Yeah.
So I'm updating to 14.3.32, and they've got some new messages in here. So far, they didn't say, don't worry, all your fires are right where you left them.
Yeah, there's some new stuff. That's right.
But they do say something like, we're protecting you from a dangerous world or something like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you thought Windows 10 was scary.
Yeah.
Considering the alternative.
That's more reassuring than don't worry, all your files are right where you left them. I'm glad they dumped that.
We know why they put that there. It's supposed to be reassuring, but I think
scary
that
people.
Actually just ends up alarming people.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, what do you mean? It was a possibility that it wouldn't be there?
I have no doubt about that. I'm surprised that you mention it.
Yeah.
But I do like, I wish I could, you know, went by so fast. It was something like, We're updating you to protect you in an online world, the dangerous or something.
Yep, that's about right. Yeah.
And I thought that actually is exactly the kind of message, and it wasn't on for very long. I started updating when the show started. I'm updated now. So, you know, it took about an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. I'll start
mine now.
During the show.
So what am I looking for here? This, by the way, this is an insider's build on the Fast Ring. So the
big stuff happened in the previous build.
Right. That was huge.
14.3.28, less than a week ago.
I want to reiterate, my Surface Book now works. All of the problems are gone.
Yeah.
That's good.
The first thing, are you running it on a Surface Book?
Yep.
Then you should look at the Windows Ink environment, the Windows Ink workspace.
Yeah.
So you tap that little pen-looking thing down in the tray in the bottom right.
Okay. Oh,
You'll get a pane that comes up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should show this so people can
this is cool.
All right.
If you have a pen.
So I have the pen, and then there's as you said, there's a little pen-looky thing.
Actually, before you do that, Leo.
Okay.
Go into settings.
Okay.
And go to, let's see if I can, I don't have a pen-based computer in front of me, but I think go to devices.
Okay.
And then go to pen.
Yes.
And what you'll see here is a new interface.
So I should choose left-handed. That's good.
Yep. And go down and see where it says the picture. See, it has the picture of the pen.
Yeah.
You can change that button on the back.
Oh, what it does. The shortcut button. So click it once. Right now, the default is click it once for OneNote. Double-click to do a screenshot and put it in OneNote. And then press and hold for Cortana.
So I changed my click once to go to the Windows Ink workspace, which is that pane thing you were looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And if you think about it, what this is a start button for the pen.
Right.
Now, you know, if you do that.
And you have a choice once in there of home, sketchpad, sticky note, or screen sketch.
Yeah.
So do you, what
home,
do you
home,
use?
Home would be the environment. I would go home, personally. But if you're someone who takes a lot of notes, you might want to go right into a, you know, into something separate.
Cool, cool.
So now double click your pen.
And sweet. So that pops up the little slider that I got when I tapped the pen in the system tray. And now I can choose sticky notes, sketch pad, screen sketch.
Yeah, and those top three things are new to Windows 10 now with the anniversary update. So, and they're new pen features, right? Well, I mean, sticky notes has been around for a while, but the ability to have this kind of full screen sticky notes experience is kind of unique to the
The
ink environment.
Sketchpad is a full screen, you know.
Yeah, and this is the thing that has, I think a sketchpad is the one that has the ruler in it. I can't see the top of the screen.
It does. It has the ruler. Yeah, there you go. I can do this with. And, neato.
Yeah.
You know what? See, now I'm going to be sad about my HP because it doesn't have touch. I can't do this. This is nice.
Yeah.
It makes it really easy to do tic-tac-toe boards.
Yep.
Really.
That's actually, snap. That's what it's for.
Yep, yep. X, O, X. Cool. All right. And then double tap. Then, I love the double tap. That's really great. Screen sketch is just draw on the existing screen.
Yeah, so it takes a screenshot and you can draw on it, yeah. So the other apps that are in there are existing apps that are being updated to support more pen functionality. I'm not actually 100% sure any of them have been updated yet, for example, but I think you can, in the future, you'll be able to draw in maps and save them and do that kind of stuff. So they have a list of apps that are or will
Office,
be.
Right?
Yeah, OneNote is in there. And Yep.
But even other ones too, isn't it? Like Word and possibly
it's all
PowerPoint.
Of them. I mean, I'm just saying, in other words, he happens to have OneNote mobile on his computer. Like he may not have... Word mobile in there,
So this is OneNote mobile I just launched with. So what I did is single click is OneNote, double click is the desktop environment, and then press and hold is Cortana.
Yep.
So that's awesome. That you know what?
Yeah, and it makes the pen like a thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's funny, people always make fun of the start button or whatever in Windows for some reason. But I always felt like it gave you an obvious place to go when you weren't sure where to go. And I think that this is heading in that direction for the pen.
Yeah.
Because you have this device that comes with the pen, you're like, this is really cool, what do I do with it?
Right.
And it's got to be more than just OneNote, right? There's no obvious place to start. And I think that little environment they're creating there, however it turns out looking, you know, by the time it actually ships, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Really nice. And I have to say, the latency on this pen is 0.000. I mean, it was maybe just the slightest bit latent. Now, I think they've really snapped that up, at least on the Surface Book.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I could see myself using that. And it gives me another reason to detach the screen now. Because I might be more likely to use it in a kind of a penny kind of way.
The Surface stuff in there, they've done something in Connected Standby where it actually works better with devices that support that technology, which includes Surface. So I haven't tested this, but your battery life should be improved by some degree. I think this last build might have had further improvements along those lines.
I think
as well.
They said it did.
Yeah.
How about ability to use Cortana from the lock screen?
Ooh. Yeah. Right. Do you have to turn that on? I haven't even tried that.
Lock it and see what.
I can't lock my screen.
So, how would I do that? I would. Yeah.
So Windows key L to lock it.
Okay, it's locked. Yep.
Oh, how do you do it? See if you can try. First of all, try that press and hold on the pen. See if that works. You might have to turn on Hey Cortana. That doesn't seem to
Hey
work.
Cortana. I don't even know if that's on or not.
Yeah, but you might not have it enabled, so maybe you need to log in.
All right. And by the way, as I mentioned, Windows Hello, boom. Did you see that, how fast that was? So improved. So improved with these firmware updates. So
click
let me go
on
back
that Cortana thing.
Oh, click on the Cortana. Okay.
Yeah, and then...
Cortana settings here, right?
Oops. Yeah, settings.
Microphone. Make sure Cortana can hear me. Yeah, Hey Cortana was off, so...
Yeah, you got to. Yeah.
Respond when anyone says, "Hey, Cortana." No, try to respond only to me. Oh, I have to train it first. Oh, here it is. Lock screen was off, so now it's on. So the Cortana can always respond to you. We've configured machine to never sleep when plugged in.
Oh.
You can adjust using power.
Not sure how I feel about that.
So this is only when the device is locked and plugged in.
Is that true? That's kind of weird.
Let me unplug her and lock her. So unplug her. And then Windows L should now be locked. Hey, Cortana. Nope. She listens even
when... Yeah, there you go.
Oh. By the way, that's got to hurt.
Oops. It came up. That thing that came up was full screen Cortana.
Yeah, Cortana came up and then blue screen of death.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I take everything back that I said about it working perfectly.
Well, it is. It's Insider. The first build.
It's Insider. It's Fast Ring. Come on. And you know what's nice is when it does do that, it reboots and gets kind of back into the swing of things pretty quick. So, okay, there you go. Live demonstration.
Sure.
Hey, Cortana. I'll try it again. But it did work. So, and it was unplugged. So I don't know why they give you that warning about, oh, we're going to change how plugged-in works.
Maybe what it means is that over time, as your computer's unplugged, it will go to sleep. And at that point, it will not work. Whereas if you were plugged in, it wouldn't go into deep sleep and it would still work.
I think that's exactly it. Should I try it again? See if it blue screens?
Yeah, why not?
What the hell? Unplugged? Windows?
You've primed it. It's fine. Now it can...
Often that's the case, isn't it? That it only does it the first time.
Right. The first sip of wine, you can't tell if you're going to like it. It's
hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Hey. Yep. Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Hey.
So you've already kicked it. Hey, it's hey, afraid Cortana. Of you.
Hey, Cortana.
One of us should say it. Hey, Cortana.
Here, I'll turn off my mic. Do it again.
Hey, Cortana.
Wow.
Boom.
Oh, maybe it just went to sleep.
It just went to sleep.
Okay. I thought it was going to work. That would have been funny.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Hey.
Hey.
I know you. I know who you are.
Yep. It'd
be fun if you could just log in with your voice like that and it would then load all your stuff. And... Boy, the Windows Hello works so well. I figured it out. Maybe that it changed the setting or I don't know. Let me look at it again. Yeah. I don't know. I'll keep playing with it, though. Yeah. So it turned it off again. Use Cortana. Even my device is locked. Turned off. Maybe that blue screen did that. And let Cortana respond to, hey, Cortana was also turned off. So I'm going to turn that back on. All right. Good. So for some reason, it reverted in its setting. Maybe it said, wait, not, I don't want to do that again. Should we try it one more time? Let's try it one more time. Unplugged. Locked. This time, you do it, Mary Jo.
Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Hey, Cortana. Nope.
Hey, Cortana.
Yes.
It knows me. Nice. You know me, don't you? I love you, Cortana. You're my favorite speech recognition device. Did pretty well.
Nice.
Ah, now it's saying unlock your device before it goes any further.
Yeah.
Hey, Cortana, what time is it? Hey, Cortana. Oh, only one, huh?
Good boy.
Hey, Cortana. Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess you only get one. But the good news, see, now it looked at me and it said, oh, it's you. And now it's doing Cortana. Good. So that's good. Yay. Nice.
Ryan Spooner just said, please stop saying, hey, Cortana.
Oh,
he's going crazy.
I'm sorry,
guys. Sorry, everyone listening live.
This is a problem. We can never do any of these devices.
This is why you need to be able to rename this thing.
I agree. But none of them really, the only, and for, I know it's doable because the Moto X allowed you to do it, but it's the only device I've ever had that lets you rename the trigger word. Echo gives you three choices. Cortana has one. Siri has one. Google only has one. But that's so strange. I don't know.
They all have to change to support that.
Yeah, especially as more and more of us use it. Than in an office, for instance, you can't.
Yes.
You know.
We're turning on people's PCs all over the world right now.
I'm sorry.
Dude. Until that time, my daughter walked into my office and she was like, Xbox, turn off.
And it did, right?
Yeah, it started to. I mean, you have to okay it. So.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I apologize. Respond. You could change this to respond only to me, right? People should probably do that.
Can you do that?
Yeah, there's a new setting.
Yeah, that's one of the options, yeah. That might have been why your voice didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And this time the settings stayed. So that crash must have just kind of reset it to the defaults. Cool. So I'll train Cortana. We'll see how that works. Hey, Minion. Hey, you. Hey, Master Chief. Something like that.
Yeah.
Gmail now supports Exchange on Android. I thought that was nice. I was happy about that.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize before. This.
It worked on Nexus devices.
Yeah, I don't know why that weird qualification, but yeah, I guess now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get it to work. I tried to configure it for my Office 365 account. I don't know.
I'm not going to use
Gmail with Office 365. So.
Yeah, right.
I don't care, but yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm busy training Cortana. just continue on as if I were.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about Skype for Business for Mac, I've had people asking me for this for so long.
When you use Skype for Business, can you only talk to another Skype for Business account, or can you talk to all Skype accounts?
No, you can talk to all Skype accounts, but it's a little bit of work.
So you'd prefer to use Skype for Business then?
I'd prefer there to be one client that worked everywhere, frankly.
I would prefer that as well.
Yeah. So they hadn't really done a true update to this product since 2011, when it was called Link. And they had made a lot of updates to it, but they had never actually come out with a brand new client. So this is a built from scratch version of Skype for Business specifically for the Mac. And the first preview of this went live a day or so ago. Mm-hmm. To sign up, you go to skypepreview.com. Your administrator has to go for work and sign up there, and then they can get included into the program and let people in the organization join in to the preview. But something to know about this preview, the way they're going to roll out features is a little bit unusual. They're going to roll them out in different drops. So this first preview only supports meeting functionality.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. So if you want the instant messaging and contacts, that's going to be preview 2, which is about 4 to 6 weeks from now. And if you want the telephony pieces of Skype for Business, you're going to have to wait another 4 to 6 weeks after that to get preview 3. And the targeted general availability date for this is the third calendar quarter of this year. That's when anybody will be able to get it.
But the timing of this was interesting, right? Because you had published something about it hours before they announced their stuff.
It was funny, yeah. I saw a video where Microsoft was talking about, hey, the preview's coming real soon now, and then a day later, it came out. So
Yeah.
They really meant real soon now.
Like you said, I mean, people have been waiting for this for a long time, so. And the name is not quite as bad as Windows Media Player for Mac, so, you know, they're getting there.
There no longer is a Windows Media Player for Mac.
I don't think so, but there was.
There was, I remember.
What a terrible, terrible name. Yeah.
It's not exactly a Mac. It's a Windows for a Mac.
No, why would that bother anybody?
Dropbox. Oh, this is kind of interesting, and it's not available on a Mac, but I imagine it will be at some point. It's not available now, is it?
No, it's coming to Mac, too. It's Mac and
eventually,
Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so both.
Not available on mobile. I guess that's what it was. It's not mobile.
Right. But, you know, the way mobile works by default is actually a lot like the way this works, which is you get to see a full view of what's there, except that you have to be online, right, to see it. And then you can arbitrarily decide what you want to bring down to the device.
So it's putting basically a metadata in a folder and says, oh, you want this, I'll download it. This is Dropbox.
It's the placeholder scheme from OneDrive in Windows 8.1.
Right.
Which, you know, if you weren't upset about the Windows Phone thing before, this will probably put you over the top. Because people have been waiting for this kind of thing in OneDrive ever since they got rid of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually believe that they're going to implement placeholders again in OneDrive. I think there'll be some solution to be able to see all of your online files without actually having to go into a web browser. But as Dropbox notes, the problem here is when you give someone a terabyte of storage or unlimited storage, which is possible with their business plans, you know, we have mobile devices that have 128 gigs of storage or less. You know, some low-end Windows devices have 32 or 64 gigabytes of storage, and half that when, you know, after you install apps and the OS. And so this solves a very real problem, like placeholders did on OneDrive, which is like kills me that, you know. Yeah. So we'll see how they do it. I mean, I was talking to Raphael, or not really talking, we were just interacting online, but he was saying, you know, he has a hard time believing that Dropbox isn't going to run into the same problems that Microsoft had with OneDrive. And so we'll see. But my anticipation is that sometime this year, you'll be able to essentially use placeholders, right? Which is way better than Selective Sync, because it gives you the entire view of your online storage and the ability to arbitrarily determine what is online and offline.
I've been using a third-party solution, a free third-party solution called ODrive. You know about ODrive?
Yep. Yeah, I've used it. And ODrive is a thing that works with multiple services. So you could configure it for Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox, you know, Box, whatever. Like, yeah, you can see the picture there.
That's exactly how I do it. So I took all of those things off, and now I have an ODrive folder, which has a virtualized Amazon Cloud Drive, Dropbox, Facebook, Gmail, Google Drive, Instagram, OneDrive, and Spaces.
What is the additional character at the end of each of those names? What is that?
So it kind of shows you whether it's synced or not. So
but it says like Cloud F or something.
What that means it's not synced. So this is a cloud file, right?
Oh, cloud file. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. And then there is a little synced icon to show. So I've chosen to keep the Dropbox and the Google Drive folders synced, but the others are on demand. So if I click into Facebook, it'll start loading it on demand.
The problem I have with ODrive, if I remember this correctly, because I've tried virtually everything like this, is the pink folders, which drives me crazy. But I believe as you navigate into that, it will actually start syncing it, won't it?
Yeah.
So if you, and I would, the placeholder scheme and what Dropbox is doing, I believe, allows you to browse around without syncing anything.
Right.
Because it syncs placeholders originally, so you get metadata, like you said. So some tiny bit of, I think it was 20 megabytes for a terabyte, or maybe it was 10 terabytes. So it's not a lot of data on the local drive, but it lets you go through the entire collection of folders in your online service, even if you're offline. Right. So as you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So I can do that. Like, for instance, here's some Dropbox folders that are not synchronized.
But if you go
into
in there,
them, I have to synchronize.
It will sync, right. I think, right?
Yeah, it will.
I'm not sure that's – I don't know.
Now I can navigate, and they're not all downloaded. So you kind of sync one level down each time.
It's one level, yeah.
So, and then there you have a choice of whether to get all the files below it or not. I mean, it's – you know, I know what you're saying. It's not exactly perfect.
No, nothing is. I mean, there's no huge problem. When you said ODrive, I'm like, I know, I remember this.
It makes sense, really, I'll be honest, on a fast connection.
Yeah.
And if you have constrained hard drive space. Plus, you don't have to run a bunch of clients, which I kind of like. I mean, you can see all the clients
Fair. The ability to hook up multiple. Can you hook up multiple instances of the same client?
That's a good question. I don't know.
If you had two OneDrive accounts,
because you log in via by account, so I presume you could do. Yeah. I don't know.
That alone would be kind of neat. People want to stack, you know, OneDrive or whatever.
Let me sign into my account because I think you configure it through the website. I'm just going to check and see if I can add. Let's see, like if I could, I add another. Mm-hmm. OneDrive account.
Let's let you do that.
It looks like I got one. No.
I'll check the bottom
one. Get more links.
Check one you already have.
Yeah, so I'll do another OneDrive. Requires authorization.
It looks like it's going to work. It didn't say you already have one.
You already have that account linked.
Yes, it did. Okay, there
you go. But that's the question is, could I? Yeah, no, it looks like it's one at a time.
Okay, so only one. But I mean, it's a reasonable.
I like it. And it's free. There is a paid version that gives you a few more features. It's one of those freemium things. But frankly, the free does everything I want it to do. So, and you can see how many cloud services I use. It's kind of crazy. You know? I like it that they added Instagram. And Facebook is like pictures. So that's an interesting slice on this. Because these aren't really cloud storage providers. But they have a lot of my data. Wouldn't it be nice to sync that data down?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, from one place, too. It's nice.
Yeah. Anyway, that seems comparable, although Microsoft seems to be implementing, or Dropbox rather, seems to be implementing it maybe a smarter fashion.
And so people who are asking us, when are we going to hear what replaces placeholders? All we know is the Windows team and the OneDrive team are working together on it. But we have no idea when that's finally going to go to preview. I thought it was
going to be... When you said that, I imagine one of those Benny Hill scenes where they're all running around in a circle bumping into each other.
Well, at least they acknowledge that it's something people want, and they say they were going to do it.
Oh, they know. Oh, it's people have been very clear. It's insane how many people weighed in on that. But all we know is they're working on it. I'm kind of doubtful it's going to make it into Redstone 1, but it probably doesn't have to be in the OS itself, right? So maybe it could be something delivered separately. Maybe, I don't know. Because I would think if it was going to be in Redstone 1 this summer, we would have seen a preview of it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Already? Yep. It seems data sync would be one of those things you'd want to test. You know?
Yes.
Don't just throw it in at the last moment. Right. That's interesting.
That's a good point. I mean, that's a challenging feature to add.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, they've delivered a OneDrive OneDrive for Business next generation sync client outside of everything else, right? Outside of Office 365. It's possible. Yeah. They could do this separately.
Yeah, they could, maybe. You know what I was kind of wondering, although it's not probably the appropriate event for this. Next week, Microsoft's having this big virtual event where they're talking about the future of SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. Yep. It made me kind of wonder, like, could they throw in a thing and say, hey, by the way, here's where we are with placeholders. I haven't heard that that's planned, but...
Well, same client now, so why not?
Right,
I mean, it seems like they'd want this feature on the business side. Where, by the way, they can get unlimited storage. And so it's even more pressing of a need.
True.
And I suppose we should entertain the notion of this new sync client, this imaginary thing that we just invented, working on other versions of Windows as well. So why wouldn't they support Windows 7 and Windows 8X? Right. And that sort of suggests that it would be done outside of Windows 10 as well.
Although I could see why they wouldn't, because they want to use it as a carrot to make you upgrade to Windows 10.
No, I know.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Raphael just pinged me about, I assume he means Outlook.com. I get emails and get hit up on Twitter every day about Outlook.com, which sometime last year they announced they were going to a new user experience. Looks like Office 365.
Only Raphael in the whole world is the only person who has it.
He doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it either. Oh, okay.
Nobody has it. I mean, well, not literally nobody. I think 7 or 8 people have it. But they they announced a month ago, longer, that, we're done. It's heading out. And, man, do people want this upgrade. And I check. I open my browser and I look at it, and I never have it, and I don't know what's going on.
What does it look like?
Do you know I got it? I told you I got it.
You got it. You're one of them.
No, that's not it.
This is the old one.
That's the old one.
Yeah, I got it.
The new one, it looks like,
it doesn't look that different, I don't think.
Well, it looks like OWA. So if you're used to OWA from back in the day in Exchange or the Office365.com, mail calendar experience, it looks like that. You know, they're trying to bring together the user experience.
Can I go in?
I'm told. See, I don't have it.
Can I go in the settings?
That's my understanding.
And say, activate new...
No.
They're the ones
determining it. Who it gets it and when. Okay. I think we're going to hear more about this pretty soon. About how, kind of what
this.
Is going on.
I'm going to check on one of my secondary accounts, and I bet I get it there. And that would be so infuriating. So,
the way you can get it right away is to create a new email account on Outlook. I believe you'll get it.
Go to hotmail.com. Sign in with
But for people who are waiting for it on their existing mail, it's still in the midst of rolling out. Although I will tell you, I forget who showed me this link, but the supposed completion date for this rollout is August 2016.
2016?
So, this year, in a couple months.
Okay.
So
anniversary.
Your wait is not without end.
Yeah. All right, well, man, it might Christmas happen. Is going to happen eventually too, but seriously, it's really...
It has been slow, yeah.
What is happening here? The 7-digit code. Sorry, I'm trying to sign in with a secondary account, see if I can get it.
I think you should, because I know people who have brand new accounts are saying, I got it right away, so.
That's so irritating.
I'll tell you, I used that link that guy sent us that said, hey, get early access to the preview. I used that link. I got it the next day. And it's,
I never got it. No. It's so frustrating.
I know. So it doesn't look a whole lot different. Like you said, it looks like OWA. It does look like that.
I think it looks more professional. I mean, it's a little more modern. It's kind of a weird term.
OWA is OWA Office. I mean, Outlook Web.
It looks more like Outlook. Access. Like the real Outlook, yeah.
It does. It does.
Yeah, it's cleaner, yeah. And it's more configured. It's got nice themes and things. It's nice.
Themes, yeah.
I'm told it's nice. Thing. I mean, I can't.
Somebody said groups are enabled, which would be nice.
Yeah, they're adding all kinds of stuff to it.
Yeah, they're trying to make those things a little more like each other.
What's the quick and easy way to know you got it? Is it purple?
I don't know what the default theme is. It's probably blue.
Mine came across an orange, and I don't know why.
And yours was, you weren't configured for that before?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
It just showed up. It was orange.
I would be surprised if people didn't notice it immediately. I mean, I know in some ways it's subtle, but it's if you use this thing every day, you would notice this.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I am like the least visual person maybe on the planet, because when I got it at first, I'm like, does my mail look different today? I don't know. Does it?
When you use Notepad, do you configure the font differently?
Yeah. See, that's why.
She uses the default font.
Right, I do. I use the default font.
You should switch it to Wingdings for a day and see how that goes.
Whenever I see the font is Serif or Sans Serif.
Comic Sans.
Please. I just want
28-point Comic Sans.
Give me Bookman. Give me something good here. Serif. Yeah. I'm kind of fond of Trebuchet myself.
Here's a guy listening to the show, John Baxter. I opened a new mail account the same day. Wait a minute, what did you say? I opened a new account, and the same day, one of my accounts, which I don't use for mail, got it.
I'm like, okay. They measure how often you use it, and if you never use it, then they fix it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would bet, because this is a fairly complex thing they're doing, they're basically taking Outlook.com and making it into Office 365 mail. I mean, it's not just a cosmetic change. It's something actually way deeper than that. That might be why this is so slow in going. Just thinking out loud, maybe.
Oh, Paul's my default font. My default font on Notepad is Consolas, which I really like. That's a nice one.
I mean, the very act of changing the font in Notepad suggests a deep-seated
problem,
hysteria.
I think Courier new. Yeah. I'm going to the typewriter font.
Consolas?
Is that that's just the which default, is actually right? A monospaced font the terminal. Yeah. I don't know why.
What did you say? Could change fonts.
Trebuchet.
I like Trebuchet. That's an old Microsoft font.
I never find anything I like. You know, sometimes I'll change to like one of the Sago UI type
Lucida.
Fonts.
Lucida is designed for the screen, right?
Is blowing my mind that you can change fonts in Notepad.
I just did it, and it's crazy. I like Lucida Sans. I think it's a very easy to read.
It changes
font.
Everything.
It does. Wow. I'm never leaving Notepad. That's it.
Notepad. I hardly knew you.
It's amazing.
Let's take a break. Beer coming up. Mary Jo definitely needs it. Oh, man. And tips and tricks and Hadoopy stuff and all that just around the corner. But first, a word from your next intranet. An intranet you want to use. Not internet, intranet, the internal network for your company. It's a good thing to have. But the problem is most of the software out there is not only bad, but then costs more. Add a feature, that'll cost you. Add another feature, that'll cost you. Igloo. I say Igloo. You say Igloo. Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. A cloud platform. They host it, makes it easy for you. Share files, collaborate on documents. Update blogs, coordinate calendars, manage projects. It's very secure. You completely control permissions, so you can have everybody can have a part to play or not. Only authorized users have access, and you can do it in private clouds. You can do it over SSL. You can do it with 256-bit encryption, highly secure. Unlike other solutions, you can customize it to fit your needs and work with your current IT investments. So you don't have to abandon SharePoint. No, it works with SharePoint and Salesforce and Office 365 and Active Directory and, of course, Google Drive and Dropbox. You can even add Zendesk to keep track of your support tickets. Go to Igloo, I-G-L-O-O, software.com/twit. I-G-L-O-O, software.com/twit. And you can get a couple of things to do. You can sign up for free and try it. And then when you want to show the boss, sign up for a live demo, and they'll demo it for you. When you sign up through our link, and I love this, if you have a small team and you want to igloo-ize them right away, up to 10 people free forever. So that is a nice way to try it. Try it with your little work group first. Igloo, I-G-L-O-O, software.com/T-W-I-T. Try it free forever for a team of 10 or fewer. It is so important, I think, to have a centralized place for people to get HR information, to share their workflows, to work together, calendars, share calendars, to hear from the CEO, all of that. And so many great companies are using it. You're going to love it. IgluSoftware.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. And I think we should start Paul off on this with his tip of the week here.
Yeah, this is going to be like app pick-a-rama today.
App pick-a-rama!
I've been writing a lot lately about people who are moving to Android, who are Windows users, and you know, how to move into this environment. And I got an interesting notification on my phone the other day that kind of turned into a tip, which is that Microsoft has created this app called Microsoft Apps, and it's for Android. And you install it, and basically it's a front end to all of their apps that are in the store. And you're like, well, okay, that's kind of useless. I mean, you could obviously find Microsoft's apps easily enough. But the thing that's interesting about it is it keeps track of apps that are new. So it's not just the phones, the apps that are in your phone. It's obviously all of their apps. And because they give notifications, you can actually be notified when Microsoft releases new apps on Android or when they release updates to apps on Android. And the update might be meaningful enough that you might want to actually try to install it. And so it's kind of a neat little early warning system now. Some people would probably just turn off the notifications because, you know, we all know we get too many notifications on phones. But I actually find this pretty useful. So, and of course, I write about Microsoft, so I guess I would. But, I only have installed a small percentage of their apps. There are many, many more. I'm not even fully aware of all of the apps they have on Android. So it's kind of interesting on that note. So normally I wouldn't recommend an app that lists other apps, but actually this is kind of a cool one. Mm-hmm. And on that note, the AdDuplex mobile pick this week is for an app called Unstream. And you may recall that AdDuplex makes an app called App Raisin
Is this a new segment, the AdDuplex mobile app?
Yeah. So, well, right. And the reason is it's hard for me. Leo, I'm almost 50 years old, you know?
What? You like, don't look a day over 38. You look good.
This is teenage children here. And I don't really, I don't mean to say I'm set in my ways because I'm obviously always trying new things and everything, but I really can't keep up with a lot of the mobile app stuff in particular. And I'm not necessarily willing to try every text editor that comes out down the bend or every, you know, Twitter client or whatever. And so the interesting thing about AppRaisin, I like the guys from Duplex, but the interesting thing about AppRaisin, it's a community of users and they upvote things that are good. And so it gives you a chance to see not just things that are new, not just apps that have been updated, but the things that are actually voted on by users as being important updates or important new apps. And so I talked to Alan over there, and we talked about some way to do this. And I said, you know what? Let's do it on the podcast because I do these app picks.
I love this idea. That's great.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a much better way for me to because you know, like this week, for whatever reason, I actually have a ton of app picks. Some weeks I don't have – it's hard. You know, right. I don't always add new apps to my whole – you know, my – existence every week. I very much don't. So it's kind of a neat thing for me, and it was kind of neat. It's neat of them that they're helping me to do this. So they're good people. So Unstream is an unofficial Twitch.tv app. It's a universal Windows platform app, and that means it works on both PCs and mobile. And so you can install it on your Windows phone, you can install it on your PC, and it's a way to get Twitch content. And if you're like a Dr. Pizza type of guy and you want to sit there and watch people play video games all day, this app will do it. And I was playing around with it on my phone, and actually I have to say, I'm not quite to the point where I'm going to watch House, you know, or House of Cards and then people playing Dota 2 or whatever. But if you wanted to, this is like one of those ways you can do it. So it's a cool app. So this is one of the big, it's not, it's kind of hard to, looking at the data, it's kind of hard to pick like the, you know, the very best app or the most upvoted app or whatever. But this is up there near the top. So
this is better than just doing it in your browser.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know for a fact with this app, but one thing I know from, and this goes back to modern apps in Windows 8, it's true of what universal Windows platform apps. When you look at apps that do video streaming, Netflix and Hulu are great examples. It is way more efficient to use a native app than it is to use the web browser. And when you look at things, and what I mean by that is dramatic differences in battery life. And so, you know, one of the things Microsoft can do, because there is... Yeah, there's no native Netflix app on the Mac. So when you compare like the battery life of like an HP computer running Netflix in a browser to a MacBook running Netflix in a browser, the results are pretty close. But when you use the Netflix app, there's like a 2-hour difference. And it really makes a big difference. So, you know, having a mobile app for something that streams video is actually, and again, I don't know specifically for Twitch, but it is the case with these other services. So it seems to, stands to reason it would be
the
case.
That's a good tip. It's probably because Flash. Flash is so bad. It's such a pig.
Yeah, that could be. But I have other app picks. In fact, I have three more app picks. So Ori and the Blind Forest is this incredible parallax side-scrolling adventure puzzler kind of game. I guess it came out, I was unaware of this really. It came out about a year ago on the Xbox. They did, or maybe a couple years ago, they did a new version of it. It's got new levels and new areas. They've remastered it. It's beautiful. It came out on the Xbox One a couple of months ago, a month ago.
This looks good.
The Windows 10 version shipped today. Here's the thing, Leo. You should do this right now, in fact. Whatever music service you use, look this thing up in the music service. Find the soundtrack. The music is beautiful. And I can't listen to a lot of like pop or rock music when I'm writing. But when I fly, I regularly will listen to instrumental music while I work on the laptop. And this is perfect. And it's the music is, it's awesome. And in fact, as beautiful as the game is, the thing that really kicked me was... just the music in this game is astonishing. And it's a neat game. And it's actually, it's a great game too, but it just came out on Windows 10. Then Microsoft's WordFlow keyboard was released in, I don't know if it's in preview form, but they released it publicly on the iPhone this week. There's a couple of neat things about it, but the really neat thing is it works in a one-handed mode using kind of an arc shape, like a quarter circle. So you basically can drag the, using one of the keys on the keyboard, you can drag it over to the side. It works lefty or righty. And if you hold your phone and type with one hand, it gives you that, you know, that perfect kind of quarter range you get with your finger. And kind of a new, and it does swipe and all those other things you would expect. So that's cool. It's free, obviously. And then Ron Harding wrote, I think via email, recommended a voice-guided navigation app for Windows Phone. As it turns out, this thing's actually also available for iPhone, for Android, and for BlackBerry. It's free. I haven't tried it yet just because I haven't driven around yet, but it looks pretty good. It's called NavMe, and it's N-A-V-M-I-I. If you're following the drama with Windows Phone, you know that Here is walking away, and Microsoft has their own thing, but it's only pretty good. This is an interesting alternative, or at least it looks like when it, if you're a Windows Phone user in particular, you should probably take a look at it.
I think this matches the show very well.
Oh, the music.
This is Ori and the Blind Forest soundtrack. It is pretty.
It's really nice. I mean, and when you play the game, it kind of comes together with all of the on-screen
stuff. I'm getting this game. That's great. Well, you think it'd run
well on the
Surface
Book? Yeah, it's got a real Disney quality.
Do I need to put it on my Xbox One?
Oh, no, you can do it in Windows. In fact, actually, the neat thing about this game is that, unlike you know, the big AAA titles that have come out recently, like Rise of Tomb Raider and Gears of War, this thing works on a low-end computer really well. It doesn't look like garbage.
It's not a gaming PC, right?
No, but even on a much lower-end computer than that, like you have a GPU in that, and this will look beautiful and sound beautiful on that machine. But it sounds and looks great on almost any computer. My little Nook, it runs fine. So it'll be great.
Oh, my little Nook, you run
cute little,
so well.
I'm just going to pet it on his little head. Yeah, it's a nice little computer.
It's pretty.
The music's, it's really, it's neat. Yeah, it's like an Avatar movie kind of thing. Like a,
yeah,
you know, the,
it does feel like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
$19.99, I'm buying it right now. And as you said, the music's free on your streaming service. This is from Google Play, but...
Yeah, that's where I got it too. And if you're familiar, you know, I was just for some reason the Amiga came up this week on Twitter. The parallax scrolling that occurs in the game reminds me of the Amiga, because that was a big thing back then, the kind of 2D sideways scrolling effect where, you know, the background, there's different levels of background, it all moves at different speeds. Kind of a shadow of the beast, although it's not that violent. But it's just the whole thing. The presentation of this one is really, really nice. It's a really neat looking game.
Already purchased. I have already bought it. And of course, the WordFlow keyboard. We made our pick of the week on iOS today on Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, Megan really.
That's pretty,
it.
Right? It has themes and.
Well,
and
she liked it because she could do one-handed typing on a. iPhone
6 even
Plus,
on a big phone,
the big one. Yeah.
My only complaint about it is, and I think this is a limitation of the platform. The half circle, the height of that, well, it's a quarter circle, is constrained by the keyboard area. And what I'd actually like, I'd like to be able to stretch it out so it's a little taller, because I've got big hands. It'd be kind of neat if you could match it to the length of your thumb, right? So that the top of it was always at the furthest of your reach.
Yes. Yes.
And it just doesn't work that way. And I think it's because of the underlying iOS, you know, the way they've structured it.
You're just lucky. Just be grateful you have a third-party keyboard. Don't push it, buddy.
Well,
the
other thing I'll say.
Does this exist on Android?
Not yet.
No, it doesn't.
They'll definitely release it on Android.
Mary Jo, will you knock that off?
I got to ask about it now.
You've gone full Android, haven't you?
Will you stop promoting Android all the time?
She's gone full Android, everybody.
Full Android. Peak Android.
Yeah, peak Android.
Yep.
What are you using?
6P? I'm using the Nexus.
You got
Nexus
the
6P?
Yeah. And you love it. Don't you love it?
That's like dropping all over the place.
Don't you love the fingerprint reader?
My smart
I do.
Don't you
I
feel,
love the fingerprint reader.
Don't you feel like you're more secure and it doesn't slow you down at all?
Yeah, it's good. It is.
It's the best fingerprint reader on the market, frankly.
I love it.
I'm not going to tell you guys the story yet because I'm saving it, but since I've become an Android user, I've already found a bug in a piece of Microsoft software on Android, and it's going to be fixed thanks to me.
Seriously, the world is broken. That's like the most amazing story. Speaking of which, actually, I think this was in the notes. We never talked about this, but you wrote a story about leaving Android. Leaving Windows for Android. And I'm just the thing I'm curious about that is, because I saw the headline and it was kind of like, I'm breaking up with you. It's not me, it's you kind of thing. And I was like, you know, I pinged you and I was like, are you sure you want to present it that way? Have you gotten any weird feedback or backlash or anybody from readers or listeners or whatever? I mean, how's that gone?
Yeah, so I wrote about this a week ago. And the reason I decided to write about it was people on Windows Weekly who listened to the show knew that I was using Android devices and trying them out and that I had bought the 6P even. But a lot of my readers on my site didn't know. So on last Friday, I did a Reddit AMA about Windows Phone with Daniel Rubino and Brad. And so I thought, you know, I better publish something first that says I'm not using Windows Phone so that because this is going to come up and I don't want to have to keep addressing it in the Reddit. So I published it and I did as a headline that Windows Phone, it's not me, it's you. Because I felt like I was one of the most loyal users and I stuck with it through and through. Even when a lot of you guys started abandoning the platform, I was still using it.
You guys? Whoa.
No, I know you still use it, but it's not your daily driver, is it?
No.
Windows Phone?
No.
He's not crazy.
No, by the way, the last time I tried to do it, it was when in February when we went to New York with the kids. I said I'm gonna use this thing, and I could not do it. It doesn't post to Facebook properly. It doesn't, you know. Yeah. I kept it just in the span of 2 hours. I ran into so much that was driving me nuts. I was like, this is the problem. You know, it just doesn't work.
Right.
I'm
so
not
I
gonna say
I posted
anything, but
this.
There is a guy in the room, no names, who works for Microsoft.
Yep, Terry Morrison.
And he's taking notes. No, he's carrying a 5X. So,
okay.
Do they give you a free Windows phone if you work at Microsoft? Or will they just like hand you a phone? They got a few of them in the warehouse, I think. No, he says no. Is that a company phone? No, it's not.
No. Nice.
No. Remember when Steve Ballmer went down on stage at All Hands meeting and took an iPhone from the crowd and stomped on it?
Yes.
I just want to use this moment to reiterate how much I miss that man.
Oh, okay. So here's the deal. He says Steve used to give us phones. Satya doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Because Satya, you know why? He would like to give you a phone. He can't bring himself to give his employees Windows Phone and not have them use them.
So okay, last thing you want to do is see a bunch of Microsoft Windows phones up on eBay.
Yeah. I think that's probably why. It's a no-win situation. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's very telling to me that when I meet with people from Microsoft, I would say like 8 times out of 10, they don't have a Windows Phone. They're using iOS. They're using Android. So that already kind of makes you kind of doubt yourself as a user of the platform. You're like, wait, they're not even using it. What about me? Why am I using it? Right. It wasn't even that kind of threw me over. I guess it was when I decided, you know, they're debating whether or not the icon, the Lumia icon is going to get Windows 10 mobile. It might not. And somebody asked Gabe that just yesterday again, and he said, we still haven't decided if it's going to get Windows 10 mobile.
Is that a Verizon problem, you think, or is that a...
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So I was just like, you know what? I believe if Microsoft makes another phone, it's not going to be till spring 2017. I don't think there's going to be any other Microsoft phones before that. So I'm going to do this and use another platform. I'm going to use Android.
So, but how's the feedback been?
It's been, you know, it's been on Twitter. A lot of people have said, I just did the same thing or I'm going to do the same thing.
I see a lot of that too. Yep.
But a few people were very angry. Some were hurt personally.
Is there any way they could unsee your website or how does that work?
I know.
How can they lash out?
By the way, just so you know, the term is butt hurt. They were butt hurt.
They were butthurt. Yeah, they were.
You tore up my heart, Mary Jo.
No, I understand. You know, when you're really loyal to a platform, and there's a lot of people that do that.
I was really loyal to the platform.
Well, but I don't think you ever were loyal in the way that some people are, where it's like personal. This is personal, right?
I don't know. You know, when you use something past the point where it makes sense, where you're literally limiting your abilities because certain apps don't exist or things don't work. You know, even something as small as what I didn't really describe it, but the inability of the Facebook app on this platform to upload a photo to the frickin' service, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, how many indignities do you put up with when you commute into work every day like my friend does and then the service changes where the parking is for the T where he, you know, goes into Boston and now you can't use your phone to pay for stuff anymore and you have to start rolling up dollar bills into little shapes so you can fit them into slots. Mm. Well, it's 13 degrees outside and it's pitch black in the middle of the winter and you just want to go to work. You know, like that kind of stuff wears on people, you know? And it's amazing to me that, you know, Mary Jo lasted a very long time with this thing. And and many people today still are using Windows Phone, of course. And there's a lot of, I know it's fine for what I need it for. You know, I needed something that will keep my pocket warm. It's nice.
No, you know what kind of in the end, you know, the Verizon thing was one thing and not the icon not getting the update. But I always said to people, I'm not an app person. I don't really care if I have apps because I don't use a lot of apps. But it's it's a really weird and freeing feeling to just know, like if somebody says, oh, you can get this app, that I can get it.
Oh, there it is.
I know. Just even if you don't want to get it, just to know like, oh, do I have to think, is it going to be there? Is it not going to be there? I just know it's going to be there. And that's just a really interesting kind of mindset change after you've been on a platform where you're like, app probably isn't there.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I think the people who sort of, you know, it has everything I need. You know, you don't apparently don't know what you need. You're just you've adapted to it rather than the other way around. This stuff is supposed to serve you. It's an interesting dynamic, but we deal with crazy.
I did this exact same thing with the iPad. I never bought an Apple product until I finally bought an iPad a while ago. And then when Microsoft finally came out with the Surface, I'm like, now I don't need the iPad. And so I donated it to charity. But I feel like if Microsoft ever makes a phone that I want again, maybe I'll dump Android again. Maybe. Sure. It depends on a lot of things.
Oh, listen, if Surface phone came out tomorrow, I'd be ecstatic to check it out. And look, I would, of course, consider using it as well.
But that's the difference between somebody who's a fanboy and says, I'm a fan of a platform, and somebody uses a platform as a tool and is going to use the best platform at the moment.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you won't use it next year. A fanboy might say, no, I'm all in on Android now. That's not what we're saying.
You know what, though?
Use the right tool.
You when you're a fan to the point where you're hurting yourself, that's unhealthy, right? I mean, I love technology. I mean, I don't know why we have to get so specific with it. Like, I can only use, if it has a Microsoft logo on it, it's okay to use. Is that how that works?
It's not your tribe. It's not your sports team. It's just a tool.
Even that stuff is arbitrary. I mean,
that makes sense because we're tribal. I mean, that's humans. Yeah. Yeah. We are tribal. And so that's, you know, there's actually, I read a great book about this.
Julia, was that paint? What is that?
Yeah, I'm eating paint now. It's my new diet.
It looked like there was a brush coming out of it.
There is. You got a problem with it? No, this is my salad.
I got you.
And the truth is,
you're having a nice tall drink of salad. What is?
I do it in a mason jar. Vic knows because he saw this. It was off camera. I shake it like a paint shaker. I mean, in fact, if I had a paint shaker, it would really work better.
It looked like there was a fan brush sticking out of it, but I see it's a
because I have to pound it and stuff because I'm mixing the.
Sure.
You don't know this about me. I make these six of these at a time. I make these mason jar salads with layers, and
no,
then
I didn't know this.
You didn't
like
know
a guac
that.
Salad.
This is a trendy
like a
thing, Paul. If he used Pinterest, he would know. He would know.
Yeah, but he's not on Pinterest.
That I'm not on Windows Phone, maybe I can be.
Maybe you could.
Is there a Pinterest app?
I don't know. Is there? Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway,
no, you know the one worry I have about using Android now, because one of the reasons I used Windows Phone was because I'm an all Windows household on PCs, right? So I don't use anything but Windows. And I was assuming that it would make the most sense to use a Windows Phone because it would make everything just work. And I wouldn't have to jump through hoops.
Yeah.
And I have not had to jump through hoops when I was doing Windows Phone. And I've had to jump through some interesting hoops using Android with Windows sometimes.
Oh, like what?
Like OneDrive, for one.
What do you mean?
I'm having a lot of trouble getting...
A photo backup.
Yeah, my photos to back up in the way I want them to OneDrive. Even though I've adjusted the settings, I've reset, I've done all these things to try to make it so that that's my primary storage for our photos. And it's just way more complicated, I feel like, than it needs to be.
Wow. It should just work.
I know. I asked Microsoft about that, and they're like, it sounds like you're having a problem with Android more than OneDrive, so I need to look into this more. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Argument, though, I think, for staying in an ecosystem is, and it's one reason why I tried to use Windows Mobile for so long, is because, in theory, it works better with Windows, and it should all work together. But I don't think
that's no longer the case.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
In fact, I don't know. It seems to me this is more configurable, and somebody will be able to tell me this is incorrect. But in Android, you can, because Android has different folders for different types of things that are picture related. I mean, you can actually, in a very fine grained way, say, I want to back up this folder, and it's pretty great. I think.
That the number one pain point right now for you, Mary Jo, is OneDrive.
Yeah, just getting everything to work smoothly has been the main pain point. But otherwise, it's been working really well. All the Microsoft apps I've been using on here have been really good.
What was the bug you found?
I want to save that story for once it's patched. Then I'm going to maybe write that up.
That's amazing, though. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah.
That's why. That was the argument made to use iOS or Android.
Mary Jo, it's bad enough for you using Android, but now you have to make it better. Thanks.
I know. I'm helping improve it. I said to you on Twitter the other day, Team Android, buddy. I'm all in.
Oh, boy. I move around. I mean, I use different things, but I don't know.
We're going to get Mary Jo the little robot hat.
I know.
Yep. Get her a giant marshmallow seat.
Yeah. I love marshmallows.
Like a bouncy marshmallow seat.
It's so fitting. See?
Actually, it's time to get to our enterprise picks of the week.
The enterprise pick of the week is Windows Server 2016 TP5. TP5 is Technical Preview 5. This just came out today. If you want to test this is the coming version of Windows Server and the accompanying next version of System Center. System Center 2016 TP5 also is out today. So why is this interesting? This is interesting because this is the last technical preview of either of these things before they RTM. And the version of Windows Server 2016 that came out today in technical preview 5 form doesn't have a lot of new stuff beyond what was already in TP 1, 2, 3, and 4. But if you want, if you need a refresher of all the stuff that's coming in Windows Server 2016, and there is a lot of it, ranging from Nano Server to containers to Hyper-V containers, there's a lot of stuff. Go on Channel 9 and look for this new channel they have there called the Windows Server 2016 channel. They've done a lot of videos, especially Jeffrey Snover has done a lot of them, where he goes through all the new features that's coming that are coming as part of Windows Server 2016. It's a very good way to kind of get caught up. But the thing you should test if you've been testing Windows Server 2016 is you should go and download System Center 2016 TP5 today, because there are a lot of new features in that that were not in previous versions. There's a lot of interesting new support for virtual machines with Nano Server. There's a lot of new stuff around using the LAMP stack, here, more open source.
That sounds almost bashy.
I didn't use the B word again.
Okay.
And there are a number of features that you should check out, because this also is probably the last technical preview. I would guess it probably is the last technical preview. So next, what's going to happen is Microsoft will run some more tests, get user feedback.
I'm watching Vic's eyes as you say this, just to see. He's not giving me any clues, though.
Uh-oh, he's not?
No, he works in the enterprise.
Okay. Yeah. RTM is next, people, probably pretty soon.
He just nodded.
And then he did? Nice. Yeah. Okay. General availability?
His name is Joey.
Joey, right.
Joey,
not,
not the other name.
Vic Miles. I've located him.
How did you know?
Oh, he tweeted this on Twitter.
Vic, you're out of yourself. I can't help you now. All
right. Yeah, so check out those previews. Go get the bits. Check them out, because this is your last chance until this RTMs and becomes generally available this fall.
Nice. Exciting.
There is a lot of new stuff. If you're a container person.
Is it safe to use a server before it's time?
So this
it's not like wine, Leo.
Actually, it is. These are both. The server, yeah. You want reliability in a server.
You do. These are both feature complete. They've been designated that. But I don't know if they've been designated as production ready or not. So yeah. A couple people have asked me if you're going to be able to upgrade directly from TP5 to the final bits. I don't know that either. But there you have it. Go check them out.
Servers, somebody in the chat room, PS Chop says, servers should be boring. That's what you're going for. You don't want excitement with a server.
Guys, this is exciting. Nano server?
It's exciting, containers? But it's boringly exciting. Or excitingly boring. Yeah. One or the other. Finally, or not quite finally, but your enterprise code name. Or actually could be any kind of code name.
Yeah. The code name is one that goes way back. It's Drawbridge. And Drawbridge was a Microsoft research project where they were building their own implementation of what's called a library operating system. I know OS geeks will know what that is, but I did a lot of articles about this when Microsoft was working on it, and there were a lot of articles, there were a lot of explanations about how Drawbridge supported something called a Pico process, which was a process-based isolation container with a minimal kernel, if that makes sense to people. And I kind of wondered if Drawbridge just, you know, it ended and they didn't do anything with it. Sometimes when you ask Microsoft people about it, they said, some of the work we did on Drawbridge is informing what we're doing with Windows, but they never would really get specific if they actually used any of that technology. Well, lo and behold, Linux fans like Paul, the Windows subsystem for Linux that's in Windows 10, the thing that is enabling Bash on Windows 10, uses Drawbridge. It uses the Pico process stuff. And Microsoft just acknowledged this finally in a video that they did on Channel 9 about how they built the subsystem that's enabling Bash. And Drawbridge comes up a couple of times, the whole Pico process work that they did on Drawbridge. So there you have it. This is why I track code names. People ask me this a lot, because a lot of times it does show up ultimately in products. And here is the perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing dies. Everything has
it. It doesn't.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep.
All right.
Well, Windows Phone.
Windows Phone might be dead. Other than that,
He had to say it, didn't he?
Yep. Sorry. I'm kidding.
It's time for a beer pick of the week, which it doesn't sound like a beer. It sounds more like maybe like a root beer.
Mm. No, actually.
Okay.
The beer pick of the week is a cider this week.
Oh, I love cider.
A lot of people ask.
I drank cider when I was at.
Did you?
Yeah. Ramblin' Hum.
Yeah. Oh, right. Cider. You did.
Yeah. Yep.
So this. A lot of people ask me for gluten-free picks on beer, and there aren't that many really good gluten-free beers, but cider also is gluten-free. Right. And so I picked the Millstone Cellars Ginger Root Cider. Millstone Cellars is in Moncton, Maryland. They have a tap room there if you're ever anywhere near there that looks really fantastic on their website. But they make a lot of different ciders, and their ciders are very dry, unfiltered, not sweet, really refreshing. I tried this one yesterday, and I think with oysters or sushi or a lot of other foods, this would be really ideal. It's almost like a wine, except the flavor of the ginger does come through. So anything that you think would kind of work with a gingery, apple-y kind of taste would be excellent with the Millstone Cellars Ginger Root.
It gets
a really
this.
High rating on Rate Beer.
Yeah. Yeah, overall 93.
Yeah, which is very high.
For the style.
Mm-hmm.
Is the style cider?
It looks like wine. You know,
it does.
The packaging is like wine.
Blanc or something. Yeah.
Yep.
So you can't get this on tap. You have to get this in a bottle.
I got it in a bottle. Yeah, I don't know if their ciders are on tap or not. But yeah, really, seek them out. Millstone Cellars. This is the second one of their ciders I've had, and they're really, really good.
Good. So. Is Pico the new Bash? Is that what we're saying?
Pico.
Pico.
Pico. Sorry.
Pico.
Pico process.
Or as I call it, P-Eco.
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 Is the new Bash. Oh, look.
Yes.
Ori has started. I do like that music. That's nice.
It really works together well.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going on Twitch now, and I'll be doing a little Let's Play with Ori in the Blind Forest. If anybody wants to stay tuned.
You can write your review with the flow keyboard, the word flow keyboard.
With my thumb. This is the definitive edition.
Yeah, so it's been remastered and redone. They've added levels and content and stuff. It's a new, padded out version.
Nice. Always looking for a new light game, easy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the heavy games. I'm getting ready for No Man's Sky. I gotta save room for that. Have you played Quantum Break yet?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. It's the anti-Call of Duty, right? The complete opposite. Heavy on story.
They actually have cutscenes from TV, like a TV
show. It's famous actors. You'll recognize all the guys. The guy from Game of Thrones, the guy from The Following and so forth. But it's funny. The one part about it I sort of like the least, I think, is the part everyone else just latched onto, which is the bullet time style combat sequences. I find those to be sort of tedious. Like because they're just
you
obvious
do that
outcomes.
With your own adrenaline, you make the time slow down in Call of Duty. You don't need any artificial bullet time.
Hey, my stuff is up on Xbox Live. You can see what I do in Black Ops, my multiple kill streaks with the little rocket thing. You can fly around the level. I love that stuff.
Very impressive.
But it's a good game. It's good. It is good. And on the PC, of course, I don't have this kind of PC, but it can do 4K graphics and all that stuff if you have a powerful enough PC. I mean, the graphics in particular are really impressive on that game. It's a big budget, event game.
Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, they're our hosts, ladies and gentlemen, two of the best, if not the best, Windows observers out there, Microsoft observers. Mary Jo, of course, writes her column all about Microsoft.com for ZDNet. Must read. And Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. Bookmark that. Visit it daily because there's lots of great content. And the books, don't forget, at tinylittlepress.com. What is it? Miniature.
Leanpub.com.
I like Tiny Little Press. That's good.
Tiny Little Press is cute, yeah.
Quick, register it. And we do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. If you want to tune in live or stop by live, like Joey Kilometer did.
Nope.
Joey Kilometer was here, And from somebody other than Microsoft.
Vic Miles.
If you email us at tickets at twit.tv, we'll make sure, especially for this show because there's a limited amount of seating, we'll make sure there's some space for you. We also encourage you to watch live, but if you can't, don't worry. On-demand audio and video is always available at twit.tv/WW or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly.